I've been pondering this question. I've been pondering this in my heart with God, just thinking in my head and praying to him about it, is why is human life so valuable? Like, what about the children who are born into slavery or taken into slavery, you know, sex slavery, labor slavery, the mines, you know, working in the mines, people being physically abused and emotionally abused throughout their whole entire lives, you know, and like they, even if they get delivered from their pain, then they have to deal with intrusive thoughts, emotional flashbacks and flashbacks and regular flashbacks and not being able to feel anything, because anytime they try and feel any type of love, they have that overwhelming feel monster come upon them. They're not able to trust anything or anyone to be of good to them. Like, never having peace, always looking to stay distracted, you know, with work and you know, drugs, alcohol, all of the above, the toxic relationships or even no relationships, just trying to stay busy constantly. And so many of these people claim that their wish is to have been aborted, like to have never been born. Like, how can you tell to someone that has a life full of all that great trauma, how can you still tell them that their life is so valuable, that it's worth whatever they have to go through? Why is life still so valuable, even with a lifetime of tribulation? And the answer was more simple than I thought: because of Jesus Christ. DNC 19, verses 18 through 19. I think I've read this before at the previous podcast, but I do want to read this again because this was still felt I should share. And he says, "Which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain, and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit. It wouldn't that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. Nevertheless, glory be to the Father, and I partook and finished up my preparations unto the children of men." So not only did Jesus go through the worst tribulation and suffering than anyone could ever try to imagine in the Garden of Gethsemane, and after that, he was still being whipped with thorns that tore through his flesh multiple times, multiple hours, then followed upon with being nailed on the cross and being crucified, that even he said it was worth it. That he was so happy that God the Father pushed him through the bitter cup when he did not want to finish it. And I remember I had a personal experience with this in my imagination, with God showing me this, about how it pleased the Lord to bruise him, which he was talking about Isaiah 53. Yeah, I'm sorry, that was Isaiah 53, verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." So I remember I read that line before, like, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." And I imagine this, and I was talking to Heavenly Father about this, like, why would it please you, Heavenly Father, to bruise Jesus Christ? Like, why would it please you to push him through something so horrible? And that's when I saw Heavenly Father embracing Jesus Christ after he died and was returned to him. He hugged him so passionately and was so grateful to him. And Heavenly Father said to Jesus, "Thank you. Thank you so much. For now my son Mark can come back home to me." And then even Jesus rejoiced with Heavenly Father and said, "Yes, that's right. I'm so glad you had me finish the cup. I really wanted Mark to be exalted with us. I told him that I would take care of him. I told him I would bring him back home." But then you might also think that, well, what about but that's like, you know, for your salvation and your sins. But what about, you know, the stuff that's outside your control? Like, you know, the kids are obviously not sinners. They're obviously, you know, not going to be in trouble for their horrible deal. And so, but it's not just the sins of the world that Jesus took upon him in that garden. It was the tribulations and afflictions of everything that we ever had to experience for any man. Yeah, that's Alma, chapter 7, verse 11. "And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. So not just the sins, but also the pains and afflictions. And the word affliction means something that causes, you know, a terrible pain and trauma, you know. So we got all any type of tribulation you can think of. And that includes all the stuff I talked about, like the slavery, the sex trafficking, the abuse, and the just the horrible living conditions or sicknesses. You know, what if being born without limbs or being born blind or, you know, without or being deaf or all of the above or having no arms, no legs, you know, so all of these great sicknesses and tribulations that Jesus knows about because he personally experienced that. And that's one of the reasons the Garden of Gethsemane was so intense, how it was such a bitter cup that even Jesus didn't want to finish it. But Jesus knows the suffering. He has perfect empathy for you and me. Because as we offer up our broken hearts, sharing with God what hurts and why it hurts, and having a contrite spirit, being willing to feel, being willing to do what God wants, being so that he can heal you and will heal you, will heal me. He can comfort us and will comfort us. Like the Lord told me, he wants to heal. He took the pains of this life to save me from the greatest suffering, notwithstanding my own suffering of grief and CPTSD recovery. But even then, the grief did stop. The healing did come in for me. Now there is more peace for me. And Jesus was excited to do that for me. He worked so hard to bring this gift. And with this gift, we can use this pain for our gain, to give the pain meaning, to experience the contrast. And this is where the words came to my head. I was writing this, where God said, did I not tell you, son, that your worth cannot even be measured for how valuable you are to me? Did I not tell you how hard I have worked to build this world for you, to provide a savior for you, to have angels and spirits work tirelessly on both sides of the veil for you, before you were born, even during your lifetime, and even more of your life to come, that even if you alone needed saving, that I would have done just the same thing? Did I not tell you, son, that my love has no pride? Remember how you could never understand how someone would want to even try and work full-time jobs and go to school and go to college full-time, when your preference is to go to school part-time with one full job, full-time job, or just go to school full-time with no job? It's kind of like that, son. Some people have agreed to take upon more tribulation up front for their human life and then receive the treasures in heaven afterward from it. But that is also why this human life is so valuable, son. Eternal life, treasures in heaven that makes the pain, the contrast, even more valuable. For it is that endless joy, endless life, endless blessings for a small moment in time that will seem like a blink of an eye when their human life has ended. But all of this also gives them the ability to empathize and to help and build others up and to come into Christ from their tribulation. And with that, their treasures in heaven will multiply even further than what they already have. Even so, that Jesus has took upon this pain and this greatest tribulation in the universe and turned it all to God's glory and to the salvation for all men, even the resurrection of every man. That we have the ability to help do the same, because this is what he said in DNC 122 when he was talking to Joseph Smith in Liberty Jail. If thou, I'm sorry, section 122, verses 5 through 8. If thou art called to pass through tribulation, if thou art in perils among false brethren, if thou art in perils among robbers, if thou art in perils by land or by sea, if thou art accused with all manner of false accusations, if thine enemies fall upon thee, if they tear thee from the society of thy father and thy and mother and brethren and sisters, and with a drawn sword thine enemies tear thee from the bosom of thy wife and of thy offspring and thy elder son, although but 6 years of age, shall cling to my garments and shall say, my father, why can't you stay with us? Oh, my father, what are the men going to do with you? And if then he shall be thrust from thee by the sword, and thou shalt be dragged to prison, and thine enemies prowl around like wolves for the blood of the lamb, if thou shouldest be cast into the pit, or in the hands of murderers, and the sentence of death passed upon thee, if thou be cast into the deep, and the billowing surge conspire against thee, if fierce winds come upon that enemy, if the heavens gather blackness, then all the elements combine to hedge up the way, and above all, if the very jaws of hell shall gap upon the mouth, or gape upon the mouth, wide open after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall be give thee experience and shall be for thy good. That the Son of Man descended below them all, art thou greater than he? So that Jesus even told us, like, hey, even with all of this horrible stuff you're going through, all of this recovery and these intrusive thoughts, the never feeling safe, the not being able to trust anyone, the overwhelming feelings that come upon you that seem so overwhelming to live life even just one day at a time, shall be for your good. And that last verse where Jesus said, you know, the Son of Man descended below them all, art thou greater than he? Not to try and be mean, what he was just trying to say is like, look, I had to do this too. I had to go through this. I went through the worst suffering anyone could ever imagine. It was horrible. But I'm telling you that, you know, it didn't make me less valuable. It didn't make me less valuable. It didn't take away the value of my life, of what I've done for you, what I've done for God. And yes, I know it can be easy to stay bitter towards God that you had to go through such hard times in life. But like, that's what God's saying. Like, look, I get it. I had to go through hard stuff too. And the stuff I went through is way worse than you could ever think to imagine you had to go through, or anyone could ever imagine what they went through, or even report what they've gone through. Cannot measure up to even the smallest fraction of what Jesus had to go through, or what Jesus even was willing to go through. And like the like I said, like the more pain we have, the more stuff we have to go through, the more we get through it, the more we heal, the more we can praise God, and the more that we can glorify him, and the stronger relationship we'll have with Jesus because of it. Like pain really does bond people. And when you go through that kind of pain and you're connecting with the Lord Jesus Christ because of it, that is like an amazing bond that many wish they could have. So just like I heard Les Brown say to me on a talk when he said, your life is worth whatever you have to go through. I can actually say that now with even more confidence because of Jesus Christ, that your life is worth whatever you have to go through. No matter if you have been in tribulation and slavery your entire life, or abused your entire life, or went through the most horrible trials you could ever think of, your life is worth whatever you have to go through, and that is because of Jesus Christ. I want to close this here with Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.